The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. The verse that we would like to perhaps concentrate more on this evening is the verse 21. As we continue our study in the Acts of the Apostles. Verse 21, Peter is addressing the 120 disciples that he mentions there in verse 15. And Peter says, "Wherefore of these men," referring to the number that was in that assembly, "wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us?" We might go on to say, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. A breach had been made in the ranks of the disciples. Satan had entered into Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, and made him his instrument in the betrayal of Christ. Peter sees immediately that there is a need for a man to be found to stand in the gap left by the betrayer. Just as there was a time in Israel's history when God sought a man to do the same thing, to stand in the gap. For we read in Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." In Ezekiel's day, there wasn't one man to stand in the gap for God and to intercede on behalf of the land, that the Lord would not come and destroy the land. A man to stand in the gap was what was upon the mind of Peter when he stood up in the midst of the disciples and addressed them upon this very matter. And as he does so, he calls to mind the words of the book, from the book of the Psalms. He makes mention of it there in verse 20. "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take." His habitation. Word habitation there means dwelling place. His home. Where Judas lived. The book of Psalms refers to that. The home of the betrayer. And the Lord said in the book of Psalms, "Let his dwelling place be desolate. And let no man dwell therein." The Lord's curse was upon the very dwelling place of Judas Iscariot. Just as God's curse was upon Jericho. And said that Jericho was never to be built again. No man was ever to dwell in that city that had been conquered by Joshua. And here Peter quotes the Psalms. Shows us that he had a great knowledge of the Psalms. In fact, Peter quoted from two Psalms. When he said, "Let his habitation be desolate and let no man dwell therein." He was quoting Psalm 69 verse 25. And then when he said, "And his bishopric let another take." These words come from Psalm 109 and verse 8. The word bishopric, as we can see from Psalm 109, the word means office. And his office let another take. The office that Judas Iscariot held as one of the 12. The Lord says through the Psalm that that office was to be taken by another. Another man was to come and take that office. It was an office which Peter described in verse 25 here in Acts. An office that was part of this ministry. And so Peter, taking his lead and guidance from the scriptures, exhorted the disciples to gather there, who gathered there at that time, to choose out a man to stand in the gap and be part of this ministry. He saw from scripture that it was the will of God to find a replacement for Judas. The inspired word, of course, will always lead us in the right direction. When we take our lead from the word of the Lord, we can rest assured that the word will never lead us astray. So ignore scripture in any decision that we have to make is a foolish thing to do. For without the guidance of the Lord through his word, we can certainly make shipwreck of our lives. So the choosing of a man to make up the hedge and stand in the gap for God was about to take place. And as we consider this matter, I want us first of all to consider the candidates. The candidates for the position of ordained apostle. Peter says, wherefore of these men, in verse 21, wherefore of these men must one be ordained, verse 22, to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Peter was addressing 120 of the Lord's disciples. So it was from this number that the new apostle was to be chosen. First of all, let us consider the men. These men, Peter referred to them as, these men. From what Peter had to say about these men, we can see that, first of all, they were choice men. You may know some dedicated child of God, some spiritual individual, and you have described that person and said that's a choice Christian there. Well, when you look at these men that Peter referred to in these verses, you can really see that they also were choice men. They were certainly all good men. I believe godly men. Any one of them would have been well qualified to stand in the gap and take Judas's place. This is evident when we look carefully and closely at these words of Peter. And we see with regard to these choice men, they were humble men. We know the names of the 12 disciples. But here we find that verse 15, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120, but were not given their names. We know the names of the 12 and the 11 that were left. But as far as the others were concerned, we don't know their names, apart from the two men that were set before the assembly there, Joseph and Matthias. Now that indicates to me that these were humble men. Even though Peter said that they accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. They accompanied with us. In other words, they were in our company all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. They were always with the 12. More importantly, they were always with the Lord Jesus because he went in and out amongst them. But they never sought to take the place of the inner circle of disciples. They never sought to take the place of John or Peter or Andrew or James or Nathaniel or Thomas. They were always there. They were dependable men. Isn't that what Philip or Peter said? Wherefore of these men which accompanied with us all the time. They were with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. They were humble men. They never tried to promote themselves. They never tried to take the place of the 12. They certainly did not appear to possess the spirit of Diotrephes that we read about in 3 John verse 9. For it says there in 3 John verse 9, Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among us, or among them. He loveth to have the preeminence. I don't detect that or find that about any of these men. Because we don't even know their names. They were not out to make a name for themselves. They were simply disciples of the Lord, endeavoring to serve the Lord, endeavoring to be where the Lord was, as the Lord Jesus went in and out among them. Indeed, in considering the disciples of the Lord, how many of us ever think about the disciples outside of the 12? When you talk about the disciples of the Lord, well, the 12 names come before us immediately. But what about the others? And here we learn from Luke, the author of the book of Acts. He says, wherefore of these men, 120, which have accompanied with us all the time. They were always there, wherever the 12 was found. But they never tried to promote themselves. Yes, we know that he sent out 70 disciples. Their names are not given. But here we're told there was 120. And the ones that Peter referred to here, we don't even know their names. Yet, from that group of men, was one man to be chosen to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, an ordained man, an ordained apostle. Humble men, yes. And of the humble, the Lord said in Luke 14, verse 11, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And we know that Matthias was the one who was exalted to that ordained office of apostle. Who exalted him? Himself? No. The Lord. The Lord lifted him up. Matthias was about to be exalted ordained as an apostle of the Lord. They were choice men. Choice men because they were humble men. Choice men because they were holy men. Once again, we have only to look at what Peter had to say about these men. Look again at verse 21. Wherefore of these men, which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. No one can be so closely associated and in such close contact with the Lord Jesus and not be holy. Isn't that what Peter is saying? They companied with us. They were part of our company, part of the company of the 12 when the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. In other words, wherever the Lord was, that's where these men wanted to be. That tells me that they were holy men. They were not only humble men, but they were holy men. For it appears that for over 3 years, the length of the Lord's earthly ministry, for over 3 years, the Lord Jesus ministered, went in and out amongst the 12, and the others were always there. All the time, it says. In the course of one of these men would be chosen to be ordained to the office of apostle. So it was when men were chosen to serve tables. The church in Jerusalem later. Just go over a few chapters, chapter 6 of Acts. You recall as the number of the disciples multiplied, there was a murmuring amongst the disciples of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12, Matthias is there. You know, I've heard people say that Peter made a mistake. He made a mistake in choosing someone to take Judas's place in the manner that he did. And the argument that they use is this. They say, well, you never hear of Matthias after he was made an apostle. And they look upon that as proof that Peter made a mistake. But it's not a very good argument. Because when you think of it, the only two men that you do that are mentioned after this election in chapter 1 is Peter and John. What about Thomas? He's not mentioned either. Or Andrew? Or James? These men are not mentioned in anything they did. But here we find in Acts chapter 6 that the 12, and so Matthias was numbered, remember, amongst the 12, or would be, and here he is amongst the 12, and he's serving the Lord along with the rest. And the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Look out for holy men. And that's what they did. Verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. They chose holy men. And when Peter referred to these men, he was referring to choice men. They were humble men, and without a doubt, they were holy men. Men who had continued with the 12 when the Lord Jesus went in and out amongst them. As I say, you cannot be so closely associated with Christ without being a holy person, because I tell you this, a holy, or a person who's not holy, a person who's fleshly and carnal, has no desire to be near to Christ. has no desire to spend time with Christ. These men did. Further regarding these men, were not only choice men, but you'll notice that they were consistent men. Notice what Peter said, these men which have companied with us all the time. They were in the company of the 12 all the time. They were consistent. They wanted to be in the company of the 12 all the time. This is understandable, of course, because the 12 had the Lord as part of their company. They were not consistently in the company of the 12 because of Peter's zeal or because of John's devotion or because of James's faithfulness or because of Andrew's love for souls. That's not what had them in that company all the time. We're told why they were in that company. Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out amongst us. That's why they wanted to be in that company. Because Christ was there. It wasn't because of any of the disciples. Oh, I'm sure they enjoyed the fellowship with the disciples. But the main reason, primarily, they were there because of Christ. And they were there all the time. They were always there. That's what Peter says. And he should know he was with the 12, part of the 12. And he would have seen these men. So it didn't matter when Peter perhaps looked around for these men. There they were. They were always there. Once again, we can look upon these men and see that they were dependable. You knew they would be there all the time. And they were there because Christ was there. That's it. They could well have said, what matters where in earth we dwell. On mountaintop or in the dell. In cottage or in mansion fair. Where Jesus is. There's heaven there. That's where they wanted to be. And surely, believer, that's where we want to be. Wherever Christ is. And that's the kind of man that was needed to take Judas's place. A choice man. A consistent man. And he was humble. Notice also that they were consecrated men. Wherefore of these men, we see here, Peter draws attention to their consecration. Not only said, did Peter say that they were there with the 12 all the time, but he also says when they joined the ranks of the disciples. This is interesting. We read again verse 21, wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us beginning. When did they join the ranks of the 12? Beginning from the baptism of John. That was the beginning of the Lord's earthly ministry. That's when these men joined with the 12. At the beginning of the Lord's ministry. Beginning from the baptism of John until that same day that he was taken up from us. Does that not tell us something about their consecration? They were consecrated to the Lord It started out at the beginning of the Lord's ministry. And look, they were still there at the end of the Lord's ministry. When the Lord was taken up into heaven, they saw him go. In other words, from beginning to end, they were there with the 12. From beginning to end, they were there with the Lord, consecrated to the Lord. You know, whenever you look at these men and their consecration, they were very like Christ themselves. They were very like the Lord. Look again at those words. Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, mark the words, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us. Now go to the beginning of the chapter. Chapter 1 of Acts. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. Almost identical words. From beginning until the day Christ was taken up. That's how these men served the Lord, were dedicated, consecrated to the Lord. From beginning to the day he was taken up. Did not deviate. They did not go backwards. They did not go astray. They were there all the time. Here were men who, once they had put their hand to the plow, never looked back. They were fully consecrated to the Lord, ready to go with him all the way. They could easily have said, where he may lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust him so, and I remember 'twas for me that he was slain on Calvary. Such a man, Matthias, must have been. A choice man. A consistent man. A consecrated man. With the Lord all the time. Then I noticed with regard to these men, they were what you could call communion men. Look again at the words of verse 21. Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. It's an unusual phrase, isn't it? That the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. In and out among us. The reference there is to being intimate with the Lord. The Lord was there. He was always going in and out amongst the disciples. He was, if you like, their familiar friend. They saw him every day. They were in touch with him every day. They could speak with him every day. They could ask him questions every day. They could fellowship with him every day. They could be in communion with him every day, because they were there all the time. And that's what that little phrase means. It refers to his their intimate communion with the Lord, and his communion with all those men who were around him. My, what a blessed group of men they must have been. Having Christ with them. Having the Lord going in and out amongst them every day. That must have been blessed experienced indeed. And they were able to commune with him. Now that would mean that Matthias was well qualified to be a chosen and ordained apostle. For he knew what it was to commune with Christ. He was the man who was chosen. We've looked at the men. Let us look at the ministry. The ministry that the chosen apostle would be involved in would be, in verse 22, to be a witness, Peter says, with us of his resurrection. That was the ministry, to be a witness. Isn't that what the Lord said? Why they were to tarry at Jerusalem? But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And so Matthias was to be a witness, or whoever was chosen, and eventually of course it was Matthias, who was chosen to this ministry. To be a witness for the Lord. You see, this was one of the qualifications of an apostle. We hear people talking today in Pentecostal circles and charismatic circles, and they refer to their men or to their ministers as apostles. They're not apostles of the Lord. I can say that categorically on the ground of the teaching of Scripture. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, of course, is the great chapter on the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul, of course, is addressing the Corinthian church. And we read in verse 3, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." You know that when you read the epistles of Paul, he had to answer those skeptics and those who denied that Paul was a true apostle. Why? Because they knew that he wasn't one of the 12. When the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, and the people who doubted him knew that you had to be one who witnessed the resurrection of Christ or saw Christ after his resurrection to qualify to be an apostle. And here Paul makes it clear. For he says, "And last of all, he was seen of me." I saw Christ after his resurrection. And we know where he saw him, on the Damascus Road, Acts 12. "Last of all, seen of me also as one born out of due time." Oh, Paul says, "I wasn't one of the original 12, but still I saw the Lord after the resurrection." And Paul was an apostle. Now we know from those words in 1 Corinthians 15 that many others saw the Lord after his resurrection, but they weren't all ordained apostles. Matthias was a man who would eventually be chosen to be a witness for the Lord, to be one of the 12 apostles. And he was qualified in many ways, as we've already seen, spiritually. He was also qualified because he saw Christ after the resurrection. That qualified him to be an apostle. And here we find Matthias, or whoever would be chosen. It was Matthias eventually. But whoever would be chosen, this was their ministry. Their ministry was to be a witness with the other apostles of his resurrection. Now, what had the Lord told the apostles they were to do? They were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, could you imagine the apostles going out and not being able to tell the world about a living Savior? What kind of a message would that be? To go into all the world and preach a dead Savior? No, Matthias and the others would go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world, praise the Lord, to preach a living Savior. And when anyone came up to Matthias and said, "How do you know the Lord's alive?" You know what Matthias could say? He could say, "I was there when it happened, so I ought to know. I saw him alive after his crucifixion and his burial. I saw him alive." That's what Peter says. Beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us. Matthias was one of those men who saw Christ when he was taken up from us. He must have been there outside Jerusalem when the Lord Jesus ascended on high. Matthias saw it happen. And he could speak with authority. My, if we were not able to preach a living Christ, we would have no message at all. Really, our religion would be no different than the hundreds of other religions in the world whose leaders are all dead and decaying in the grave. But our leader, our apostle, our captain, our Savior is not dead. He's alive, and he's alive forevermore. But what a poor message we would have. In fact, it would be no message at all that we couldn't preach a living Christ. Praise the Lord, we're able to preach a living Christ and one who's returning again. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain." But these men of whom Peter spoke, these men that had witnessed that wonderful, triumphant, victorious event when Christ left behind an empty tomb and left behind the grave clothes, these men, the candidates, from these men, from the ranks of these men, one would be chosen to take the place of Judas. Next week, and God willing, we'll go a little further. And we'll consider the consultation. How they consulted with the Lord as to who they should choose. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our loving and our gracious God, we pray that we might be like these men. Humble men, holy men. In many ways they were hidden men. Hidden from our view. And there they were. In the company of the 12, in the company of Christ all the time. Until the day he was taken up from them. O loving God, have us to be with the Lord all the time. We know that he's with us all the time. But Lord, have us to be with him all the time. And as we put our hand to the plow, Lord, may we not turn back, may we not even look back, but rather keep looking on to him, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, may we meditate upon thy word and think about what thou hast told us and given to us tonight. And O loving Father, lead us on with thyself. Sanctify us in mind and heart and soul. Make us indeed more like the Savior. Lord, be with us now as we part the one from the other. Keep us much in prayer in these days. For we need thee to come. Pour out thy Spirit upon us. Have us, Lord, to pray to that end.